My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
Traditional revenue sources for public media, and really the media at large, are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
Bitcoin on the front line. How Ukraine's using crypto to boost supplies. Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. Will Bain back with you today. Thanks for being with us. Yes, it's been a wild year for the crypto industry, often in the headlines for all the wrong reasons. The dynamism of the sector was one of its big appeals compared to traditional finance. And in the second of our week-long series, we hear why some of that attraction still remains. In Ukraine, for example, when your traditional banking sector is quite literally under attack from Russia, what do you do? Well, apparently, turn to crypto. As Alex Bornyakov, Ukraine's Deputy Minister for Digital Transformation, told me.
We're not ready for such a full-scale invasion. And most of the thing that we needed by that time, desperately needed, bulletproof West, we didn't have this in Ukraine. We had to buy them from abroad. But in the same time, Russians were advancing so fast, so our banking system was like shut down, almost shut down. I remember it was working, but National Bank of Ukraine severely limited our ability to pay in dollars and euro, and especially abroad. So we needed tool to quickly perform those transactions. And crypto was our first choice for that. And crypto, of course, helped that first in the first day because we were able to cover some of this immediate needs for armed forces of Ukraine. So we gathered around $20 million in the first week. And I think crypto really saved us because all the major help arrived later on. And of course, when other government trying to negotiate, it takes time, obviously. But with crypto, people were immediately sending money and we immediately buying all the supplies that we needed that were on stock.
Alex Bornyakov there. Well, let's take a look at the numbers now. And some crypto prices for you today. The world's most popular one, Bitcoin, down slightly today. One Bitcoin is at around $16,500. In many parts of the developing world, cryptocurrencies are becoming a tool for people to move money around more freely. In Ghana, a dedicated cryptocurrency education center has opened. The Built with Bitcoin Foundation was set up by Ray Youssef, the CEO of Paxful, a peer-to-peer crypto exchange.
We are here opening the first Bitcoin technology center in the first nation in Africa that declared its independence.
When you look at Bitcoin and how it manifests on the streets of the global south, there are really two main use cases. The first use case is as a store of value, and in markets that are ravaged by inflation, Bitcoin often provides a far better store of value than their local currency. But the second use case is actually the biggest one. The reason the global south is poor is because their money has been kept in a prison. They can barely make a payment to the country next door. They're better off carrying a suitcase full of cash. There's 2,000 payment networks in Africa, and only 2% of them talk to each other. Bitcoin allows them to almost have a kind of universal translator and transporter of money. They can seamlessly jump across borders. They can basically turn any form of money anywhere into any other form of money anywhere.
That's Ray Youssef there. Well, as I said, it's been a rollercoaster ride for Bitcoin in particular this year. The price has slumped some 70% in just over a year. That's obviously terrible news if you're like our investors we heard from yesterday, but even more worrying if your country has taken it on as its currency. The BBC's Joe Tidy has been to just such a place, El Salvador.
you'd think the way that things have gone in 2022, that might change. But President Bukele has stuck to his guns. And instead of backing away from Bitcoin, he's buying more. Last month, he said, I'm going to buy one a day from now on.
And what drives this kind of dedication, this sort of passion to the cause that the president seems to have?
Well, he's a true believer that Bitcoin is the future of finance. He has a kind of inbuilt hatred of the dollar. Obviously, in El Salvador, that they rely on the dollar. That is their currency. And that is something that they wish they didn't have to do. They want to be independent from the US. They want to be independent from financial regulation. And the IMF said to them when they made Bitcoin legal tender, look, you shouldn't be doing this. This is a really big risk. And El Salvador and President Bukele just said, we don't care what you think, we're going for this. Not only have they made Bitcoin legal tender, they've also spent hundreds of millions of dollars of public money trying to make Bitcoin popular in the country. They launched an app called the Chivo app, which gave every citizen $30 worth of Bitcoin to spend. Of course, El Salvador is a very poor country, so $30 is quite a lot of money. He's also spent, the president, we think about $110 million on actually buying Bitcoin.
Some people that you spoke to in El Salvador were spotting those risks, even as far back as when this policy was being rolled out, though, weren't they?
Yeah, it has to be said, Bukele is an extremely popular president. But the Bitcoin policy, it's either accepted reluctantly by the population or it's widely and loudly criticized in San Salvador, the capital. We spoke to some protesters there who were wearing anti-Bitcoin T-shirts and hats.
People in my country are hardworking and poor. We are not ready for Bitcoin.
Salvadoran people are not educated enough yet. On top of that, Bitcoin is too expensive. Some people in this country make $3 a day to buy food. You can't buy Bitcoin with that. The government wants to impress the world, but they've stolen from public resources, from people's taxes, to buy Bitcoin.
So not just El Salvador, though, who are making this bet on Bitcoin as its currency.
Yeah, this year, the Central African Republic decided to also make Bitcoin legal tender. They announced that they were releasing a white paper on how not only Bitcoin, but crypto is going to revolutionize the country and help this war-torn country. And now they are parking their other plans for cryptocurrencies because of the market. So I think it's fair to say that both El Salvador and Central African Republic, although they've made these big announcements of making Bitcoin legal tender and they're really going in on crypto, we haven't really seen the benefits of that yet for everyday citizens living in those countries.
The BBC cyber reporter, Joe Tidy, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
Remember, if you miss any of our crypto coverage, just check out our podcast, wherever you get yours from. I'm Will Bain with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.